So what do you know, folks? Things have gotten crazy. Yes, back here at Anchor, your Wild and Woolly Wordsmith, wildandwoollywordsmith.com, barbaryallen.wordsmith.com, or excuse me, barbaryallen.wordpress.com. Anyway, insanity, right? And the real insanity is not the looting. It's not the fires. It's not the police cars on fire. It's the real fucking insanity is that those men, three of them still haven't been arrested, and one of them it took 4 days. Okay? This is the fucking outrage. And this is the outrage that has people still in the fucking streets. Okay? You're meaning it 2 or 3 days of shit, perhaps, even if you'd arrested them all within 24 hours. Okay. But the fact that it's continuing, I mean, so you went and you decided you'd arrest the one man on the video that everybody'd been able to see. And keep in mind, they've been trying to hold this back and lighten the load right from the beginning. Remember how when it first came out, he was being accused of forgery? And because they were saying forgery, people were being led to believe he was trying to pass a bad check, trying to commit fraud, trying to be a criminal, forgery, you know? Now it turns out, finally comes out, and it mainly because British sources found out and leaked it out and finally U.S. sources had to correct themselves. This whole hassle started over what was suspected to be counterfeit money. Now, I don't know about you, but it's come out that this guy worked in the nightclub industry as security. And he was called on to work security at various events. Well, man, having worked in nightclub and nightclub security, working with live music events and venues, wouldn't be that hard for somebody to have been paid by a promoter in cash that the promoter took from somebody coming into their event that might have been counterfeit. Might just as easily have been working as a bouncer at a strip club and got tipped in 20s from a stripper who was taking counterfeit 20s from some fucking customer the night before. But, and if fraudulently trying to write a check, is that worthy of being assaulted, much less murdered? But what if this was a case where, you know, and it's an easy what if, because, you know, again, having worked in the industry, I've seen plenty of counterfeit $20 bills. People try to slip them to strippers all the time. So, I mean, it's a lot smarter to do fives, but whatever. Just saying. Point is, 20s... You know, this guy got... Somebody gave him some fake fucking money. And he went and tried to buy a pack of smokes and some road beers with it at the end of his night. Maybe the bartender gave it to him in change from the last bar he came from. He didn't know it was fake money. We'll never know now. We can never ask George Floyd, hey, did you know you were trying to pass a fake 20? Now, did you get that 20 knowingly? Or did you accidentally get that 20? Realize what it was. Realize you'd already been ripped off. And you were just trying to pass that ripoff on to someone else? Is that what happened? You figured out it was a fake 20, but you could turn it into the cops and get nothing. Or you could see if you could get the bodega down the street to take it and get you some smokes out of the fucking deal. My guess is he had no idea he was trying to pass a fake 20. He just, from what I'm reading and what I'm understanding, he just didn't strike me as that kind of stupid. To be that kind of fucked up and drunk and hammered, as he, you know, purportedly was, and to be trying to pull the slick move of passing fake money. It's not very gangster, that's for sure. That's not very savvy nightclub personnel, that's for sure. So, I mean, then again, even if he was willingly trying to pass off money that it was that he'd made himself and it was still fucking wet, it doesn't deserve dying. And then, after 4 days of saying, we're going to take care of this, we're going to check this out, blah, 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 you know, we've got to go through the right hoops here. Meanwhile, you got all these motherfuckers like me going, wait. If that was four preachers, four women, four plumbers, four roofers, if that was four anything else, I'm pretty sure they would be in custody while you sorted things out. Not walking free while you sort things out. They would be in fucking custody. They would be behind bars if for no other reason than their own safety. Why those other three men, especially now that the other videos come out, showing that they were pulling a fucking totem pole on his ass. Everybody had a knee in him. Jesus fucking Christ. Well, what was his excuse for not getting his... The guy was saying he couldn't breathe. Maybe you don't believe him. Maybe, though, since you got three buddies that are on the rest of him, you get off of him just in case. Your neck hold was not the only reason he was there. You didn't need to torque it down harder. Okay? You had three other motherfuckers. You could have said, hey, guys, lay in. I'm on his neck. I'm going to back up. I'm going to back up a second. Hold him down. He wasn't fighting. No. This was a bouncer you knew from the club. This was a guy that was brought in special to work at events with blacks. Events where Mr. Chauvin, who the restaurant owner has already said, actually had a racist and fearful behavior when he ended up having to be the cop working at that restaurant for the urban events. Every other event he was fine. Hispanics he was fine. Whites he was fine. As soon as it was a black... You know, a black majority attending event. It was mace him first. Pepper spray him first. Ask questions later. Pepper spray him, kick everybody out. Pepper spray him, kick everybody out. Why? Because that's how you get the owner to quit having black events. They're not financially cool. That's what this guy... This guy wasn't just a racist. He was actively trying to enforce his racism, not just on him, but the beat where he worked. Think about that. At the restaurant where both he and Mr. Floyd worked. Floyd worked just on those more black, African-American, African, Afro-Cuban, more African-Hispanic events where you had more African attendees. This is the way the woman that owned the restaurant put it. She's the one that employed both Chauvin and George Floyd. She said George Floyd was a great guy, big, gentle giant, but he probably always worked inside. Chauvin, for almost 20 years, was their outside cop. He was the given. It kind of seemed like they didn't have a choice. That these were his hours. He was the one that the police department was going to send down there. Now, what does that say? For 19 years, with guys, you know, not only was he getting complaints in the department, I guarantee he was getting complaints for his work as a security guard, too. And for 19 years, the police department said, nah, he's our guy. You leave him there. He's doing exactly what we want him to do. This is what you need to contend with, Minneapolis. It doesn't matter how liberal the front office might seem. You don't go in. One thing you don't do is you don't go through and fire your whole police force and replace them with a new police force when more democratic forces take hold. You send in people to watch them. You put in mandates and you tell them to do a better job, but you still have the same goddamn cops. Well, that's what needs to change now. That's what needs to change. Okay. your criteria for hiring needs to change. Right? Because lily white guys with no record, well, golly, you know why they've got no record? Because the cops haven't bothered them. The cops won't watch them. No. Yeah, your police force, it needs to actually reflect the diversity of your community, it needs to actually come from your community. It needs to reflect that diversity. And if you're in a community with no diversity, well, then it needs to reflect the diversity of some of the neighboring communities until we get that worked out where you've got some diversity. Well, you're not so afraid of diversity. Maybe a couple generations, that won't be a question that anybody needs to ask. We have a problem in this country, a problem we've had for a while. I mean, those gangs of police officers, those people that got their lunch money stolen all their lives, now they want to get some of it back. I've been bitching about this for a long time, and I know a little bit about it, having spent my 6 months that I promised my father working in the law enforcement profession, made me promise him I'd try it. I did it. 6 months, got out. Hated it. Hated the cops I worked with, most of them. Couldn't stand them because that's exactly who they were. Bullies, or people that wish they could have been bullies when they were kids, and now they are. Half of them couldn't kick their own ass without a gun. And the only reason they're in charge in the prison is because they got other guys in the towers with guns and they get to have batons and such and rules. Rules, see, that's where they get them. They ticky-tack and fuck you with the rules. That's how you... Yeah, that's... And so that's why those same petty wannabe bullies, fucking Dexters and Poindexters, angry little nerd bots become the correctional officers, or they become cops. You know. But back to that dynamic of the cop, of Mr. Chauvin and Mr. Floyd. They knew each other. I can feel it. I was a bouncer. I worked nightclub events. I had to deal with the cops that worked the parking lot outside. I had to deal with the cops that came by the strip club to harass all the patrons and to shake down all the employees to see if they were dealing drugs. At the same time, I'd see those same cops trying to pick up on our strippers, trying to get them to go for ride-alongs, trying to get them to go to date them. Because cops actually like bad girls a lot. So I have such a problem with cops and hookers. Because those are the same girls the cops couldn't get in high school. Okay? The hot chick, the one was putting out when everybody wanted to talk to back in high school. Once those high school guys, they didn't even get to talk to them. Let's just go anywhere with them. You know? And they got to the bars while they're studying in college, maybe getting ready to become cops or working security guards as they build up to it. You know? And they still see all those hot chicks. And now they're with the drug dealers and the people breaking the rules, or rich people. Or like I said, it's either rich people, people are already rich, or people breaking the rules. You know, that's who's getting those hot checks. And, you know, then there's some exceptions, but then the cops start having to go to the clubs on the weekends and drive by there. They don't get to go hang out at the club. They usually end up sitting in the parking lot watching for drunk drivers, so they don't know what's going on inside. But you know who they see getting hugs and kisses, taking home different women every weekend? The bouncers. I've been there when some cop was picking up on some chick only to have her run up to give me big hugs and kisses on her way into the... He was parked out in front of the club. As she walks up and he calls her over and he's trying to talk her up. I'm the bouncer. I just come walking outside. Hey, what's up, sweetheart? I see you're here. And she turned around on him like he was a fucking... He was a commercial for Depends. Scooter rum, but right on by, ran up, jumped up into my arms, started giving me kisses. Oh, well, I missed you. Poor pencil neck cop with his gun. Couldn't have got that out of that woman if you tried. Me, I wasn't even trying. I wasn't even interested. She'd have given it to me anytime I wanted it, though. All I had to do was say yes. He couldn't get it if he begged. Well, that's a dynamic with a lot of pencil neck cops. And then they try to use that power against these people they perceive as problems. I've had the same kind of cop put a knee in my fucking back and slam me into the hood of a fucking... The trunk of the cruiser. Okay? Because he suspected my owner of being involved in some illegal things. And so, it was my first night at a new club. Turns out the cops would come by and shake down and search everybody and employ the club. Yeah, it was a nice, nice second day in Las Vegas. Welcome to the fucking, welcome to Clark County Police Department, motherfucker. Clark County Sheriff's. Fuck them. Okay? And I've been on the receiving end of, there's a lot of people out there. I didn't realize how it was special. I thought everybody out there had had a cop draw down on them with their gun at least once. Right? I mean, that's a common occurrence. No? Wait, no, not everybody's had police officer hand on their weapon. Freeze. I will shoot if you move. Nothing along those lines. Never had a cop point a gun in your face or put their hand on it and threaten to... No? Never been tased? Pepper spray. What about pepper spray? Everybody's gotten some pepper spray, right? No? Oh. Well, everybody's been handcuffed and put on their knees in a position where somebody could put a gun in the back of your head and fucking execute you mafia style. You know, you're on your knees behind the car, hands behind your back, completely helpless, and could be shoved down in the ground. You know, everybody's had that happen, right? That's happened to everybody a couple times, right? For no reason. You don't have to have done anything, you know. I mean, and most of the time you haven't. But I mean, it's happened to everybody, right? Wait, no? No, this is not the way it happened for everybody? Well, let me guess, who hasn't it happened to? White folk, that's right. That's right. Because white folk don't get put in the back of a cop car just because they don't have their ID on them. White folk don't get put in cuffs behind a car while the police verify that the documents that say the vehicle is yours aren't fraudulent. You've got documents to say the vehicle's yours. Or you've got documents of the owner, and you can tell them about the owner and how the owner loaned you the car and has given you permission to use the car. You can have all that. But that only works if you're white, apparently, because they're the ones that have never been on their knees behind a car with their hands cuffed behind their back for an hour while the cops tried to figure out what they were doing. Not figure out who you are, but figure out why you're with who you're with. And that's it, see? And that's part of it, see? You prove you haven't done anything wrong. You prove you're not who they're looking for. You're not whoever it is you fit the description of. You're not their person. Now they want to figure out why not. But sorry, I'm digressing. You know? As I said, I've been on the other end of this. I am a POC, although very, you know, I certainly wouldn't, you wouldn't find me, you know, signing up for membership at either the Black Student Union or the Hispanic Council or any Jewish group or any of another, you know. But I qualify as cousin to all of them. I've got a little bit of all of them. I'm one of those real Heinz 57s out there. I am really a mix. North Africa, Central Africa, Central Europe, Northern Ireland, you name it. But the point is, I've walked the walk. I've been that guy that fit the description. I've been that guy that, you know, doesn't look like he should be in that car. It doesn't look like he should be hanging around in this neighborhood. That doesn't look like he has the right to walk across this neighborhood. It doesn't matter that he's not doing anything wrong. He's not doing anything suspicious. He's not looking through windows. He is simply trying to walk across the neighborhood. But he doesn't have the right to do that. He should have walked around on the main streets. He should have tried to not look so suspicious. What the actual fuck? It's still like that in this country. That's the way I grew up. I don't know how many times I got pulled over for being in my parents' fucking neighborhood. And how many times the cops stopped me and wasted 20 minutes of my day, 30 minutes of my day, while I justified my existence. And that's what a lot of people don't get, is just because I wasn't killed like George Floyd doesn't mean I haven't had similar circumstances, and that all people of color, all minorities in this country haven't had multiple similar circumstances. Because trust me, if it's happened to you, it hasn't happened to you just once. And that's going to be the real kicker there. That's the real prover. It's when I ask that question, how many of you actually had, you know, had the handcuffs on behind you, and you know, and you're out in front of you and you haven't done anything wrong? And first, you know, all I noticed was that almost nobody had, and yet every person of color probably has. Well, here's the real kicker. Maybe it's just coincidence. How many of you had it happen to you twice? Or more? And every person of color and every minority's hand stayed the fuck up. That's when you know it's not a coincidence. When it's happened to everybody twice, and all the other people none. That's when it's not a coincidence. Coincidence means it's happened once to every person of color. Not when it's happened twice, three, four times. Not when you've actually had to sit in the back of a fucking squad car waiting for someone to decide whether they wanted to investigate you for a crime or not. Not that you've done one. Not that they had an arrest warrant. They were holding on to you until they decided whether they thought you might have. And you had to sit here and wait. You didn't get to go walk around like some guy with a lawyer. This is part of why these people are protesting. Okay? Because we've all had 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, an hour here, a weekend there, an overnight stay here, a busted fucking tooth there, the inability to go on a 3-day weekend with friends because your ribs hurt because you had some fucking cop bust them up, and, you know, but leave that out. Just how many times you've been stopped by police. Every one of those is probably an hour of your day that you don't get back. Now, if that only happened once or twice in your lifetime, just the stop, that wouldn't be that bad. But people of color, if they, for every year of driving, I bet you they got 3 unnecessary stops, if not 10 or 20. Now, if you've got 10 unnecessary stops a year for 50 years, and each one of those unnecessary stops costs you an hour of your day, at the end of 50 years of driving, they have stolen 500 hours of your life just because you're not white. It's like a tax. It's an inconvenience tax. It's just too bad you're not white. You have to pay this tax of being harassed by law enforcement, hassled by the man, beaten up by cops, and not given any sort of extensions or deals or leniency or second chances or benefit of the doubt because, well, God darn it, you unlucky bastard, you're not white. And that's what we're sick of. That's what we're sick of. And that's why everybody's raising up, because we've all lost 100 hours, 150 hours. Hey, I'm 52. I'm 30, you know. Now, granted, I have gone way, way out of my way to not allow the police to waste time in my day. But in my younger years, I was foolish enough to let them take a good 100 hours from me. Easy. And that's why we're raising up now. That's why people are standing up now. Because everybody's owed 100 hours. Okay? And if you got 150 million people, or even just 100 million people, 100 million people that are all owed 100 hours, 100 hours of life returned them, or made good in an equal amount of treasure. If 150 million had 100 hours coming, you shouldn't bitch about 6 days of burning and looting. You got 60 years coming. This is Barbary Allen. Your Wild and Woolly Wordsmith, wildandwoollywordsmith.com, barbaryallen.wordpress.com. Pandemic's still real. Racism is still real. And, well, you know, since I haven't said it yet, I'll say it today. I wouldn't bet against this being written in the history books this week as being the beginning of something akin to revolution in this country. It may not be marked now as such. It may not be marked in 6 months as such. But I think when the history books are written in 30 years, George Floyd, Donald Trump are going to be involved in AP test questioning around this week in history. Later.